Isaiah 1. Well, the situation here is that Israel or Judah had not turned away from God in the sense of becoming atheists. God says at the end of this chapter, I'm tired, I'm burdened with all your sacrifices and offerings. They were bringing their sacrifices, but that was not what God wanted. He laments in verse 3, the ox knows his owner, it's the same word for his buyer, his redeemer, and the donkey knows his master's crib, but Israel doesn't know me, my people don't consider. The idea of knowing God is to have a relationship with him. And you see how sensitive God Almighty is, the God who dwells in one sense so far away. He had observed the sort of grateful relationship that there was between an ox and his owner, and between a donkey and his master. God had noticed that, and he laments that, unfortunately, Judah do not know him in that way. So to know God in this sense is to have a relationship with him. It's not to know about God, to know things about God. It is to have a relationship with him, just as a man, according to the Hebrew Bible, knows a woman and they have a child. The idea is they were in a relationship and they had a child. And so Israel did not know me. My people does not consider. In other words, they were drifting through life, as a lot of people do, on autopilot, as if in a dream, with no real sense of God, with no real sense of relationship with him, although they were doing all the sacrifices. And he says in verse 2 that they were in rebellion against him. So this is a warning, because we can all slip into drifting through life on autopilot, going through the motions of religion, never saying, oh, I'm an atheist, I've given up with God. No, going along, as we might say, to meetings, to church meetings or whatever. And yet, the ox knows his owner, the donkey knows his master's crib, but Israel did not know God. They were just drifting on autopilot. And if you're in a living, dynamic, two-way relationship with God, you cannot drift on autopilot. So he laments that my people don't know me, they don't consider. But when you come to Isaiah chapter 6, in verses 9 and 10, God says that because they did not consider or understand, he would give them eyes and a heart that did not consider. So God will confirm you in the way in which you want to go. If you want to drift through life on autopilot, not considering God and his ways, not understanding him, not truly knowing him, he will confirm you in that. Now, of course, and this is the multifaceted way that God works, he, of course, wants relationship with you, so he will also entice you, as it were, into relationship with him, but he will not force. He will not force at all, and he so respects your free will decisions that he will confirm you in the way that you choose to go. And if that way of drifting through life on autopilot is actually the way you want and the way you've chosen, not knowing him, not considering him, then that is how he will confirm you. And yet I said that he also wants relationship, and he will of course seek to somehow bring you out of that. This same word for consider that's used here in Isaiah 1, lamenting, Israel doesn't know me, my people do not consider. You find it used in the Song of the Suffering Servant that you have in Isaiah 52 and 53, that is very clearly a description of Jesus on the cross, of the Lord Jesus crucified, carrying our sins, the transgression and suffering and punishment of our iniquities was laid upon him, etc. And that prophecy, that song, is introduced with the statement that this message is going to be told to men so that that which they had not seen, they might consider, they might understand. Well, here at the beginning of the prophecy, the lament is, my people do not consider. But the idea is that the suffering of the servant was intended to jolt them, to make them consider. And here you see the wisdom of the commandment to break bread and to regularly remember Jesus crucified. Because he there, crucified on the cross, should seek to jolt you, to make you consider that which was not told to people, that which they had not perceived, they will consider. And then we have the description of Jesus crucified. So this then is the intention, that before his cross, before him there, if we allow his eye to, as it were, catch ours, as you reconstruct in your own mind him dying for your sins, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, Paul can say. And if you reconstruct that in your own mind, and as it were let his eye catch yours, then you cannot be passive. You cannot drift on autopilot, going through ritual, religion, as it were, and yet not considering and not knowing God. You have to. You cannot see him there, surely, doing this for you, and be passive, and not come to know God, and consider him. That is to enter into a dynamic two-way relationship that is nothing to do with drifting through life on autopilot.